Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, the 9th of September. Thanks so much for downloading today's podcast. This is our most read story on the website today. Head teachers at two schools in Kent have defended new rules, which parents have said are draconian and barbaric. Our reporter Millie Bowles has been following this story and joins me on today's episode. Millie, can you tell us what schools we're talking about here and just run through some of the rules that have been brought in?
So the schools in question are Sandwich Technology School and Towers School in Ashford. In Sandwich, a new behaviour policy has been brought in. That's because the school's recently been taken over by Barton Court Academy Trust, and it's been brought in line with their other schools. It includes stricter enforcement of uniform, which seems to be where most of the problems have come about at the start of this term. At Towers, pupils have been told to cross their arms in between tasks in lessons and at the beginning of lessons. They've also been told they must line up and have their equipment checked every morning. But the school has clarified some of these points.
And what's the reaction been from parents? What have they been saying to you?
Parents have called the new measures draconian. They said that their kids don't want to go into school, that they've come home crying. Some have compared the new measures to a detention camp. But I must say, some parents have supported the stricter new rules and said that kids need discipline.
Now, I've heard you've been in touch with both of the schools. What response have you had?
So both schools have defended the new rules. The executive head teacher of Barton Court Academy Trust, Kirsten Cardis, has said communication was sent before summer break to Sandwich Tech parents to let them know about the new behaviour policy and reinforce the rules surrounding uniform. At Towers, the new head teacher, she's just come in this year, Tara McVeigh, said that the first few days have been really successful and that students have been looking smart and staying focused in lessons. She also said that some of the new rules are extensions of rules that were already in place, for example, the crossing their arms and the equipment check.
Millie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A man's been charged with causing death by dangerous driving after two cyclists died in a crash near Gravesend. The collision involving a white Ford Focus happened in Sole Street, not far from Mepham, on Sunday morning. 22-year-old Aaron Turner from Hermitage Road in Higham is due in court. Another man and a woman who were arrested have been released on bail. It's emerged Kent police were told an anti-immigration protest could take place in Dover the night before masked men blocked roads to the port. Bosses have admitted the information was not fully assessed, saying it may have allowed the force to consider its resourcing for the demonstration on Saturday. Dover MP Mike Tapp spoke yesterday in the Commons about the disruption.
Police were thin on the ground, and the reason they're thin on the ground is because they didn't have that mutual assistance from, for example, the Met. So if you're going to start arresting individuals in balaclavas and you're outnumbered, it's probably not the safe thing to do.
The College of Policing is going to carry out an independent learning review. A sex offender from Medway has begged magistrates to send him to prison as he says he can't cope with life on the outside. Michael Milson has appeared in court accused of breaching restrictions that were imposed following previous crimes. The 40-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, was found with indecent images of children. He'll be sentenced at a later date. Two people have been treated by paramedics after breathing in smoke during a house fire in Sheerness. It broke out at Seaview Gardens yesterday afternoon. Three fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze and crews used a high-pressured fan to ventilate the property.
Kent Online reports.
A motorcycle procession is taking place in London to mark 600 days since British tourists Lindsay and Craig Foreman were detained in Iran. They were on a motorbike tour of the world when they were arrested and jailed for spying, which they deny. Lindsay's son, Joe Bennett, who's from Folkestone, has been leading a campaign to free them and bring them home. A police dog's helped to track down a suspected motorbike thief in Sittingbourne. Officers were called to reports of a vehicle being taken from an address in Hythe Road in the early hours of last Friday. PD Lyra managed to find a person seen running from police near Menin Road. A 17-year-old boy was arrested. Campaigners say they've been left feeling sick after an extra 400 homes were added to a potential housing site in Tunbridge and Malling. They've been fighting against housing on Broadwater Farm between East Malling and Kings Hill. It's been included in the authority's local plan and initially featured 900 properties. The latest version has been upped to 1,300. Now, work to bring the historic Lees Lift in Folkestone back into use reaches a significant milestone this morning. The carriages are being returned and put back on the tracks. They were removed in February last year and have been extensively renovated by specialists in Lincolnshire. Joe Streeter is the interim chief executive of the Folkestone Lees Lift Company charity.
When they were taken off, we had hoped to restore them, but they were in such bad repair that for safety reasons and for the longevity, we had to have brand new tops of the carriages made and we needed new wheels. So, yes, but they're coming back to Folkestone finally.
So, yeah, a really exciting moment. And you mentioned there about the restoration project. They've been up with in Lincolnshire, haven't they, with experts. I'm sure you've been dying to see what they look like. Have they given you any sneak peeks before today?
Yeah, so yes, you're right. They've been in Lincolnshire. And yes, we've had photos recording their sort of, you know, their journey and being brought back to life and all the rest of it. But actually, I had a little bit of a sneak peek because I went to Saltburn Funicular fairly recently and they've just had their carriages restored by the same company. So I managed to travel in their new carriages and they're very similar to the design. You know, the woodwork and everything that's been used on ours. So it was a bit of a sort of like a precursor just to build the excitement.
Obviously, they're very historic features, but I know they've had to upgrade them to fit modern standards. So they've improved safety and accessibility, things like that. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So definitely safety. They were not safe to be repaired. And what they've done is they've kept the original sort of design per se, so they will look, you know, very much like the heritage ones previously. But yes, they have been they're sort of subtle enhancements. So, for example, some of the wooden panels, they're modular. So if we have to repair some of them in the future, we don't need to take the whole of the tops of the carriages off to do that. We can just do a section of it. So that helps for the future maintenance and sustainability. But yes, in terms of accessibility, the original sort of timber seating has been retained, but converted so that we've got a number of fold-up seats so we can take wheelchair users, pushchairs, prams, and the sort of landscaping and the hard landscaping at the top and bottom stations has been done in such a way that it's all fully accessible.
In Folkestone and across wider Kent, there's a huge amount of love for this historic feature. Have you really felt that since you've been involved in the project? Do you feel that people are really keen to see this back in action and actually get on board and ride it as well?
Absolutely. I mean, in the very early days, I've been down at the lower station and people have been walking past and they will always come and say, oh, are you opening the lift again? And it's, you know, there is a passion. And all the way through the project, there is a passion to have the lift for sort of obvious reasons. You know, there is a sort of a functionality and a really good cause for it being there. But people just love it. Aside from that, and we did some social media research a few months ago, and it was sort of asking the question about who would come and sort of use the lift, and people from all over the world wanted to come and use the lift. So yes, there is a passion for it, there is an excitement, and quite rightly, because it's, you know, it's a part of history, it's a part of Folkestone, and it's a sort of, you know, it's a beacon of sort of Victorian engineering. So yeah.
Kent Online reports.
Bosses at a Kent cinema have apologised after mice were seen running around during a screening. They were spotted by a support worker who was watching the new Spider-Man movie at the Odeon in Maidstone with a client who had learning disabilities. A spokesperson says appropriate action is being taken at the site. Public transport bosses in Kent say they've managed to save two bus routes in Thanet that were due to be scrapped. The County Council has been working with operator Stagecoach after services 9 and 32 were earmarked to end. It means routes between Ramsgate, Minster and Moncton and Minas Bay and Margate will continue for the next 6 months. The boss of Tenterton Garden Centre says a month-long road closure has cost his company £110,000 in lost trade. The site remained open while Appledore Road was shut, but owner Edward Bolt says they were hit by the lack of potential customers passing by. The closure last month was designed to allow for utility connections, drainage works, new streetlights and resurfacing as part of a new housing development. A worker's revealed aggressive shoplifters were part of the reason behind her decision to retire after 21 years at the same store in Dover. Karen Christian was the longest serving member of staff at the supermarket in Cherry Tree Avenue. The 66-year-old decided to call it a day last month and received more than 200 messages on Facebook from well-wishers. Karen has been speaking to our reporter Sam Lennon.
The customers are just, you get to know them. They become, they tell you things, they talk to you.
I personally
will sit and talk to them. I will not necessarily rush them off. Aldi's known for scanning through items quite fast. We get all that. I've seen all the jokes. But there's a personal side to it too with us. You know, we like to talk. We like to get to know the customer. The customer gets to know us. They... we might be the only person they see all day with the elderly.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So you just click. You just get a rapport with them. You get to know them.
They're
not just a customer that comes through the door. I personally don't see them just as a customer that comes through the door. As I've said, on my Facebook page, when I did, as I say, normally I'm quite a private type person, but when I advertised that I'd actually retired, I didn't go around telling lots of people I was doing it. I just did it quite quietly. But then on my Facebook post, when I did put it, it was amazing, all the compliments, all the messages I got, and then it just made me realize what I did was very much appreciated.
Kent Online News.
Bosses at a community larder in Dartford say they've supported more than 200 families and distributed over 75,000 items in their first year. The project in the Health Living Centre sees members pay £4.50 and visit once a week to collect essential items, including unlimited fruit and veg. Staff also provide advice on budgeting, cookery classes and help with benefits. And a sale of artwork found at the Kent home of the man who co-created Bagpuss has made a record £400,000. The items were auctioned after being discovered by Peter Furman's family as they cleared the property near Canterbury. More than 500 lots went under the hammer, with every single one being bought.
Kent Online Sport.
Sport now, and in cricket, former Kent player Jordan Cox has kept his place in the England side for the third test against Pakistan. The 25-year-old, who was born in Margate, has impressed in the previous games with England, leading the series 2-0. Play at Edgbaston is due to get underway at 11. A young tennis player from Kent will be in action at the US Open later. Matt Knowson is due to compete in the junior wheelchair singles. The 13-year-old from Bittenden will be looking to build on his victory at the French Open earlier this summer. Works finished on the new £1 million state-of-the-art 3G pitch in Staplehurst. The facility at Jubilee Field includes floodlights and changing rooms, along with a skateboard area and car park. The Kent FA have provided some of the funding, along with the government's football foundation and local parish council. Works finally due to start this month on Kent's newest David Lloyd Health Club. Plans to build it at Waterbrook Park near Ashford were approved back in 2024. Construction was delayed because of a planning dispute. It'll be the fourth David Lloyd in the county. That's all from us for today. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.